You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
If you had the opportunity, with which major person of history would you like to spend one day? Might you want to spend a day with Napoleon, or maybe Moses, or maybe even Alexander the Great? Or perhaps some of you who have been facing some real difficult problems lately, maybe you would like to spend some time with Job, so that you might ask him how he was able to cope with life. Not long ago, a study was undertaken to determine with which person in history the majority of people would like to spend 24 hours. And to their surprise, the individuals who conducted this study learned that the majority of people surveyed said that they would like to spend this special time with Jesus. However, for anyone familiar with the Bible, this should not really come as that much of a surprise. In fact, in one of the more dramatic events recorded in the Bible, we see that the Apostle Peter felt very much the same way. Peter not only wanted to spend a few hours with Jesus, Peter tried to work out a scheme whereby he would be able to remain in the presence of Jesus as long as possible. In the Bible, in the Gospel of Matthew, we read that one day Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to a high mountain. They were alone, and suddenly Jesus was transfigured. The Bible states that Jesus' face began to shine like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. Then the Bible explains that Moses and Elijah also appeared, and they began talking with Jesus. And in the midst of all the emotion and spiritual drama, the Apostle Peter came up with an idea. Oh, Peter loved so much just being in the presence of Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And so Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is so good to be here. Therefore, if you wish, I am willing to make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But then the Bible explains, suddenly while Peter was still speaking and trying to make a deal with Jesus, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." God the Father was speaking. He was talking about his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father was graciously reminding Peter that the most important thing is not simply to be aware of Jesus, or even to be respectful or adore him as a leader. But the Heavenly Father said to Peter, the most important thing about Jesus is to listen to his words. This week, churches all over the world are celebrating the glorious event of the Savior's transfiguration. That day when Jesus was transfigured, when his face shone like the sun in front of Peter and two other apostles. And although this historical event, as described in the Bible, did not last very long, the message that the Apostle Peter received from heaven was crucial for the future of the church of that time, and the message of the transfiguration of Christ, an event we celebrate today, is desperately needed in our generation. Because, you see, we now live in a period of history where people all too often seek religious emotion instead of solid spiritual truth, first impressions instead of reality, and fleeting feelings instead of solid faith. And so even as the Heavenly Father spoke to Peter, encouraging Peter to desire the Savior's divine and eternal words instead of a mere religious emotion, so also the Father is offering you and me help and strength, encouragement and hope in the eternal and life-giving words of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so therefore, if you are one of the millions described in the survey we just referred to, who would like to spend just one day in the presence of Jesus, then the Heavenly Father has a powerful message for you too. Jesus is the Father's Son, And Jesus' words are more than mere grammatical expressions. My words, Jesus said, are light and they are life. And so it is in the words, and not in the mere emotional impression of a religious figure, that you and I are given the spiritual help, the strength, and the power to face all of the challenges of our everyday life. And oh, what a help the words of Jesus can be. And this may be especially true for you today also. For instance, perhaps you have been convinced that your past sins are so great that God either cannot or He will not forgive you. And if you've ever felt that way, then permit the loving words of Jesus spoken to the woman caught in the act of adultery. Let these words uplift your guilt-filled heart. You see, most likely, despised by her family and condemned to hell by the religiously self-righteous, this helpless woman was thrown at the feet of Jesus. First, the Savior exposed the deceit of her accusers, and then Jesus said, "Now, let him who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." This, of course, indicted those who had condemned the woman, and so they left, the Bible says, they left the scene one by one. And so then, when they were gone, Jesus said to the lady, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" "No one," she answered, "no one, Lord." And then, with his heart filled with compassion, Jesus said unto the woman, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way and sin no more." Oh, may each of you who has suffered silently under the mistakes of your past life be lifted up by the same forgiving words of our blessed Savior. From now on, don't listen to your accusers anymore, but instead listen to the Heavenly Father as He says of His Son, Jesus, "This is my beloved Son." Listen to His words of forgiveness, not those of your accusers. Listen to His words of pardon and hope. In many places, the Apostle Paul reminds us of the forgiveness that we have in Christ. And therefore, let no one condemn those whose sins God has already forgiven. My dear friend, today the words of Jesus are spoken to your heart. Your sins are forgiven. Go on then in life, and don't look back upon your sins anymore. These wonderful, forgiving words of Jesus remind us also of a parable that Jesus once told about people who are always trying to justify themselves. And they often do this by condemning others. You've probably been around people like that. You see, as soon as you meet them, they are almost instantly gossiping about somebody else. Jesus was referring to these hypocrites in this parable, and so I'm going to read this parable just as it is written in the Bible. It is so powerful and clear in its message that it needs no interpretation from anybody. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 18, we read that Jesus told this parable to those who trusted in themselves and their own vain self-righteousness. They viewed all others with contempt. Two men, Jesus said, went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The self-righteous Pharisee stood and was praying to himself, and he said, "Oh God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast," the hypocritical Pharisee said, "twice a week, and I pay tithes on all that I get." Now the tax collector, on the other hand, his approach to God was quite different, totally different. He stood some distance away. He was even unwilling to lift his own eyes unto heaven, and instead he beat his breast, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And so then, at the conclusion of this parable, Jesus said, "I tell you, this man, the lonely, repentant tax collector, went down to his house justified and forgiven, rather than the self-righteous Pharisee. For everybody," Jesus said, "who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." These words of Jesus are indeed comforting. These words provide you and me with a solid foundation for our faith. These words make it possible for you and me to endure the rough and difficult times of life. And so it is easy to see why our Heavenly Father then, when Jesus was transfigured, said to Peter, "This is my beloved son. Listen to his words, the words that give you hope and forgiveness in life." Sadly, however, very few people today really know the words of Jesus. Most people today can recall only a few snippets or phrases, shall we say, or little bits and pieces of the gospel. Consequently, then, the words of Jesus do not make much sense to them. In fact, the word of Jesus is often treated very much the way most people today relate to news broadcasts. In a study of what people know about national and international news events, a survey conducted by the Times Mirror Center, the experts learned that most people who get their news from radio or television have a very low level of awareness. This means that most people have little more than a hazy familiarity with the person or event described on radio or television news. And isn't this also very much the way it is with Jesus in our generation? Often, instead of gladly responding to the words of our Heavenly Father, "This is my beloved Son, listen to his words," we have a society which is frequently more interested in the words of Shakespeare, or the speeches of Churchill, or the satanic lyrics of punk rock. And so, lest we also become like the self-righteous Pharisee, beginning today, may the living Word of God, spoken from the lips of Jesus, the beloved Son of God, lift you up to a new life. Jesus is God's Son, and it is Jesus himself who said that his words are light and they are life. That's right. Jesus said, his words are life. I realize, of course, that at this moment you may not be confronted with serious illness or death. Nevertheless, if you are now facing the future with a fear of financial uncertainty, let the anxieties of your soul disappear as you in cheerful obedience respond to the Heavenly Father's words, "Listen to Jesus, my son. He is my son. Listen to his words. They will help you." Jesus said, "For this reason I say unto you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life," Jesus said, "more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, and neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" Don't be anxious, Jesus is saying to you today. Don't be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Every day has enough trouble of its own. Of course, Jesus is not saying that we should live every day without any concern whatsoever about the future. By the grace of God, every one of us has received a mind, and we can plan and we can prepare. But what Jesus does not want you and me to do is this. He does not want us to live every day and go to bed every night overburdened and even tortured with the uncertainty of tomorrow. And so then, as we meditate on our text for today, we see the will of our Heavenly Father. And his will is this, that you and I not be satisfied with a mere casual acquaintance or historical awareness of Jesus, but rather our loving Heavenly Father earnestly desires that you and I be richly blessed in every way as we listen to and as we feed our souls upon the words of Jesus, the words of life. Now, sad to say, some of the younger generation seem to have a different approach to religion and to the words of Jesus than that suggested by the Heavenly Father. In fact, the baby boomers, as we call them, the baby boomers are now presenting the traditional church with a formidable challenge. According to a recently made available report, many of today's younger crowd, those between 20 and 40 years of age, are actually quite interested in church and in religion. However, and we point this out here, however, the report noted that the majority of this baby boomer group is not interested in basic Bible teaching or Bible doctrine, or even in the blessed words of Jesus. They are, according to the report, more interested in a church that will primarily meet their social needs. This is, of course, similar to what Peter wanted at the Transfiguration. Peter wanted primarily to be in the presence of Jesus. But the Heavenly Father said, Peter, it is most important that you listen to the words of my beloved Son. And so, my friends, on this celebration of the Transfiguration, let us hear again the Almighty God say of his Son, Jesus, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. And consequently, may the Spirit of God lead us no longer to seek spiritual security through a mere passing historical acquaintance with the Savior, but instead let us reverently read, eagerly listen to, and most of all, to joyfully meditate upon the blessed Savior's words of life. Jesus is the beloved Son of God. Let him therefore establish your faith on his eternal promises. Jesus is the beloved Son of God, and therefore receive the unconditional forgiveness that he is offering you at this hour. Oh yes, Jesus is the beloved Son of God, and he is waiting for you to return to him. Not long ago, a leading religious critic wrote in a syndicated column that there is continuing trouble in some churches. The exodus of members from mainline churches continues to grow. The problem, the writer declared, is that the sheep, or the people in the pews, are not being fed. He further explained this by saying that in many churches, the sermon often has little or nothing to do with the Bible. References to Jesus in the sermon are only occasional, and a direct quote from the Savior is extremely rare, used only when it happens to fit a theme which is almost always secular. But instead of now judging and condemning the clergy and pointing fingers, maybe it would be a good idea for all of us, every one of us, to take the time to pray for the spiritual leaders of our land. Pray that these leaders might turn to the living, the cleansing, and the healing Word of God. Yea, let them see the Word as the mighty tool of their calling. And then when we are sure that the true Word of God is again coming from the pulpits of our nation's churches, then the people can honestly respond to the Transfiguration admonition of our Heavenly Father by saying, yea, Jesus is thy beloved Son, Heavenly Father. From the lips of our God-fearing pastors and preachers, we love to listen to the Savior's words. And so then on this special day, instead of seeking security in religious emotion, as we celebrate the festival of the Transfiguration, let God the Holy Spirit establish your soul upon the solid foundation of his holy word. It was Isaiah the prophet who said, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. And so today, let us then celebrate the Transfiguration. Let us do it with great joy. Let us listen to Jesus, for his words are light, and they are life. Jesus is my beloved Son, the Heavenly Father is saying to you today. Listen to him, for in Jesus' words, you, my friend, are going to receive light and life and forgiveness and an eternal hope. Amen.